Friday Sport.
First of my good evening, two sports which regularly provide unparalleled excitement are preparing to entertain the masses once again this weekend. The summer season continues with a huge three-day cycling event beginning this evening, involving some of the big-name competitors, including several Manxies hoping to deliver on home soil. And there's the track and field championships as the athletics scene continues a year which has already delivered a showreel of highlights and personal bests from talented homegrown superstars. So much to bring you on this evening's edition of Friday Sport. Let's start, though, with some international sporting headlines. This afternoon, it's been breaking news that Harry Maguire could be on his way to join Manchester United. The clubs, Manchester United and Leicester, have agreed an £80 million fee, so that should be sorted this weekend. And also in the cricket, you might not like cricket, you might not like Australia if you're English, or if you're not English, you probably hate the Poms as well, but a fantastic test match is developing right before our very eyes in Birmingham at Edgbaston, chasing down 284 and that fantastic innings from former captain Steve Smith, 144 he got before being dismissed. Well, England in reply. Rory Burns has scored a maiden test century. That, after a brilliant bit of luck, he survived an LBW on 21. And if it was reviewed, he would have been out. Denley and Butler fell in 22 balls after a new ball was posing all sorts of problems for the England batters. But 223 for four after just over 75 overs. That is the latest score in pursuit of 284. But much closer to home, and it's a big weekend of cycling upon us with the next instalment of the HSBC UK National Men's Road Series taking place in our own backyard. The Cycle 360 Manx International Stage Race spans over the next 3 days and involves some top riders in a variety of different disciplines. It begins tonight with the Kermes. It starts at 7:30 tonight around a course in and around the Isle of Man Business Park in Braddon. The locals involved and ones to watch out for include Mark Christian, fresh from his exploits as King of the Mountain in the recent Grand Fondo, Connor Davies, Jamie Fletcher, Matthew Looker, Nathan Draper, Tom and Leon Mazzoni, the brothers there, and also a man who's hoping to win a sixth successive stage in the series in Matthew Bostock. He's had a great series so far, hasn't he? He finished with a perfect record, a 100% record at the Circuit Series, the recent Circuit Series there, and there's a prime opportunity for him to make it Super 6 tonight on home soil. Road closures are being implemented throughout the weekend and affect various parts of the island, so please be aware of this if you are indeed out and about. They're not like road closures at the TT, however, as a number of access corridors and crossing points will be available for motorists, which organisers hope will minimise any disruption. Pedestrians, though, they won't be affected, and you're all encouraged to go out and cheer the boys on as they go round the hill climb. And the circuit race take place tomorrow before the event culminates in the fourth and final stage, the road race, with three laps of the TT course on Sunday. Co-event director Richard Fletcher and former Team GB Olympian and Manx cyclist extraordinaire Johnny Bellis told me more about who's involved in the race and more information on which roads will be affected by the closures.
All the major continental teams that operate out of Britain are coming over, so Canyon DHB, Madison Genesis, Wiggins LeCoultre, Swift Pro Carbon, they're all here, and really it's hard to put a winner on it. I'm biased because I'm from the Isle of Man, so I really hope that Matty Bostock, who is coincidentally number one on the program, he's probably actually one of the realistic favorites for the first stage. He's won a number of very similar type of stages in the UK in the last month, so he's probably a red hot favorite for stage one. Stage two is completely different. It's a hill climb up the Slock. Stage three then is a circuit race, which is different again. And stage four is the Queen stage, if you like, which is three laps of the TT course. It's difficult to put a favourite on any of those. Again, being biased, I'd really love to see Mark Christian produce a big ride. I think it's his type of terrain.
So many riders involved. And the different stages, varying stages, play to the different riders' strengths.
And I think the teams coming here this weekend will have that in mind. You know, it is not just going to suit one rider alone. And I think in each team it will have a rider who would suit Friday night, who would suit the hill climb in the morning, and then the three laps of the TT course in the afternoon. So I think that'll be a good thing. I don't think it'll be the same winner on every stage. I think it'll be different types of riders on different stages which will come out and produce the win, and I think that will provide exciting racing for everybody watching the event. So,
Richard mentioned Matthew Bostock before, 5 wins in a row, looking to make it 6 stage wins in a row. How much of a boost will he get heading back to his homeland here in the Isle of Man?
Yeah, I think that'll be massive, because even if he hadn't produced those wins in the last month, I think being a local race on the Isle of Man, which is pretty rare, and it's not as regular as it did used to be, but it is getting better, and I think the local riders will sort of step up a level naturally anyway, and they've got to have their family and their friends cheering them for support. And I think clearly Matt has got really good form at the minute, and I think the opening night on Friday, I think he will be the favourite. So if he could get the win, that'll be great, and yeah, we'll see. I think,
how special is it from your point of view to see some of these top riders come across from the biggest teams to the Isle of Man?
I think it's really good, and it just provides so much exposure for the Isle of Man, and I think it'll be a really good event, and hopefully a lot of people will come out and support it and see what it's about, and if they've not seen something like this happen on the Isle of Man before. So I think it'll be a really good event, and hopefully the weather will be on our side as well, because racing in the rain is, it's not great, so hopefully the weather will stay nice and dry and it'll produce some exciting racing.
And from the Kermesse to the road race, from your own personal perspective, where do you view as the most challenging part of this weekend?
I think all the stages are going to be challenging. I think, these guys are used to riding long races and they're used to riding shorter races like on Friday night. So I think, I think they'll have riders specifically for each stages, and I think, team tactics will come into a lot of play, especially with the bigger teams as well. So,
Richard, a lot of people who are keen on cycling in the Isle of Man, just give them a bit of information on where they can go to view some of the racing that they'll see this weekend.
Well, first one is probably the most exciting and accessible stage is the opening stage up at the business park. So the course goes from the back of the start finish is between Cycle 360 and Manx Telecom, two of the major sponsors. It then drops down onto the cool road and goes past another one of our big supporters, Jackson Group, who support us with vehicles on previous events as well. And I know they're making their car parking available to people and also putting on some refreshments and trying to encourage a bit of a party atmosphere there. When they go past Jackson's, they then turn left up towards the where Douglas Borough Corporation have got a depot, and then left again into the finishing straight. So it's a short circuit, 0.7 miles and 50 laps, and that will be exciting racing. So that's a great first start, and I think there'll be a good atmosphere here. I know 360 has got a lot going on, and Manx Telecom have got customers and staff at an event as well. So should be all good on that front. The next morning, the stunning vista that the Sloc represents is a great place to watch. It's an individual event, so it's a different vibe altogether to a Fast and Furious Kermesse. Test the lightweight climbers on a very challenging climb, but also a very good road surface. And then the afternoon Balaun is very accessible. There's a lot going on in Castletown. I was disappointed with some of the reporting in the local press about clashes of events, because the idea with Castletown Day and the event being down there for this stage is that we bring people into Castletown, and there's lots of things for them to do and see. And so we see the stage down there as being complementary to Castletown Day, not as a clash with it. So, and there are parking challenges and accessibility challenges about getting out of the town, but they've been taken account of by the commissioners, the DOI and ourselves, and people will be able to get in and out of Castletown and still do all the activities that are there.
And a huge event for the sport, because it's not often that people in the Isle of Man can see this caliber of rider in competition. How important is this for cycling on the Isle of Man, do you think?
It's very important. It gives the local riders. The local riders have been very well looked after in terms of the youth element. Dot Tilbury and a team bring a massive number of kids into cycling. The Equium Junior team then gives them a development path through to 18. And I felt that my two motivations for being involved in running this race are, one, to bring visitors to the Isle of Man to come here and spend money, and two, to provide elite cycling as a pathway beyond the Dot Tilbury's events and the Equium squad for senior riders to further develop. So they're the two motivations for doing it, really.
Your phone's not stopped ringing all morning. That's going to continue, I imagine, right through till Sunday. You're a very busy man. One of the less glamorous roles, though, of this event is sorting out the road closures. If you could please just elaborate on which sections of Manx roads will be out of bounds to motorists over the weekend.
Yes, certainly. I mean, road closures are an inconvenience to people. I hope and the vast majority of people have been very understanding and supportive of it. The road closure is probably, well, they'll deal with them one by one. Stage one, the business park. There are 43 businesses on the business park. Without exception, they've been very supportive. Admittedly, it's 7:30 on a Friday evening, so most of them will have gone home, but some of them have 24/7 operations, and we've made arrangements with them that they can get to and from their premises. It's important to note that a road closure for a cycle race is not the same as a motorsports closure, in that pedestrians aren't affected at all. They can come and go, they can cross the road, we welcome them onto the pavements to support the riders. So it's not the same lockdown you have in motorcycling because of speed and safety. Vehicular access is a problem. What we've tried to do with all the events is to have access corridors and crossing points. So for instance, the business that has been in the paper at the moment with the Peel Carnival, I mean, Peel's outside the course, so nobody is affected for getting to and from the Peel Carnival who lives outside of the course. Anybody coming from the south isn't encumbered at all because Ballacraine Junction is half open and St John's is fully open. Anybody coming from Douglas area can easily access it by just going via Foxdale. And people from the north, so that the one that's maybe not as well understood, is there is a corridor operating on every lap between Belaff Bridge and Kirkmichael, and that's a fully accessible corridor. So yes, people may be held up for 20 minutes or so while the race passes each lap, but other than that, they can freely go from Belaff to Kirkmichael and vice versa. So the crossing points hopefully will reduce people's inconvenience, and they'll be manned, and we do everything we can. If there are people with specific needs, such as visits to hospital, things like that, they can just ring the helpline number, which is 224254, and the race control people will do the very best to help them.
Richard Fletcher and Johnny Bellis there. Four stages then over the next 3 days, starting with stage one, the Commerce presented by Manx Telecom. That's a 7:30 start this evening around the course, a 55-kilometre distance for the riders to tackle at the Isle of Man Business Park course in Braddon. And this is round 9 of the 2019 HSBC UK National Men's Road Series, which are the top events of the British domestic road cycling calendar. It really is a real feather in the cap for the island. Moving on to Saturday then, two stages on Saturday. We start at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Slock in Colby. And the 1 minute intervals for that individual hill climb there, presented by Brother, 6.1 kilometres. Is the distance for that. Also on Saturday, taking place later on in the day around the Belown course in Castletown, 4 o'clock start for a 15-lapper circuit race there, 4 o'clock start for that, and it finishes with stage 4, the road race on Sunday around the TT Mountain Circuit, 3 laps of that. It's a 1 o'clock start. And once again, if you are going out there to watch and you want to keep out an eye out for the locals this evening, the number 1, Matthew Bostock, he's chasing his 6th successive stage win. He is number 1 riding for Canyon DHB. Mark Christian then at number 33, he's riding for Team Wiggins. Jimmy Bostock is 58, Connor Davies is 59 for Team Isle of Man, him and Jimmy Bostock. Also Jamie Fletcher for Team Isle of Man, race number 60, Matthew Looker is 61, Nathan Draper is 72 riding for Holdsworth. Leon and Tom Mazzoni are 81 and 82 respectively, riding for Spirit Tifosi. And once again, if you do have any urgent inquiries about the road closures, remember Peel Carnival and Castletown Festival are on, but there are access corridors and crossing points available for motorists, and pedestrians won't be too badly affected by that. But if you do have an urgent inquiry about the road closures, then you can call the helpline on 224254. Once again, that's 224254.
Friday Sport.
Well, Manx Athletics has had an incredible summer already so far, and that will doubtless continue this weekend. The Isle of Man Track and Field Championships will see some of the very best athletes that have come through our fantastic setup here compete for the plaudits. and the wealth of talent on display is vast. Proof of that can be found by just taking a quick look at the Island Games medal table from, only about 3 weeks ago, and checking out how well we did in athletics. 16 medals were won in total by Team Isle of Man, who were recently away competing in Gibraltar. 9 of those medals were gold as well, with David Mullarkey, Rachel Franklin, Alan Corlett and Amy Kringle among those to stand on the top step of the podium representing the Isle of Man. Perhaps, as well, what was even more pleasing to see from a personal point of view anyway, was the way they all seemed to get on. They were all rooting for one another. They celebrated together. They were quick to console those who didn't get the result or put in the performance they wanted to. And it may be a cliche to say it, but they were one big family there in Gibraltar, and they were really, really getting along. And it'll be interesting to see how they compete against each other this weekend. Those avid followers of Manx Sport will be very familiar with some of those who won gold at the Games, but another crop of highly talented young athletes are coming through and will be keen to put in a good showing over the next couple of days at the NSC in Douglas. Athletics Development Officer Hannah Riley, who herself brought home a silver for her efforts in the 100-metre hurdles at the Island Games, told Tim Glover who has been impressing.
Yeah, we've had really good numbers enter, and the really exciting thing, we've got Spar sponsoring us now. They're obviously a really big retailer in the Isle of Man, and Vic van der Heever is really excited about this new initiative because obviously they sponsor British Athletics.
Just going to say there's an association there, isn't
yeah,
there, with
absolutely.
Athletics, long-running one.
Yeah, and European athletics as well. So the fact that, you know, a business like Heron & Brealey, obviously they're in relation to Spar, that are going to sponsor some our athletics is really, really good. So we're really excited about that and we're very, very thankful.
What about the Island Games contingent? Will they be thinking, oh, it's job done, I'll put my feet up, or are they actually riding the crest of the wave and have entered?
Yeah, a lot of them have entered, actually. A lot of the senior athletes have entered their own event, like an octathlon. So if you want to come down and have a bit of a laugh, because a lot of the senior lads have entered a 400, a 4 hurdles, a 100, an 800, pole vault, high jump, discus, shot put. So they're going to compete against each other. There's 9 of them competing against each other over the weekend for a £100 prize. So it's going to be quite exciting.
Well, I seem to recall you having a go at shot put.
Yeah, I think I was ranked number 2 actually for quite a while. But yeah, it's nice to have a go at different things, especially I think for someone like myself who's the only hurdler, to do different events and compete against different people and obviously your teammates and people you've known for a long time. It's actually really good fun, and it's a really good weekend. And there's a lot of the Island Games, a lot that are taking part, and a lot of the up-and-coming athletes, you know, like Ben Sinclair, you know, who's running absolutely phenomenally at the moment, you know, just coming off a bronze medal at the English Schools, which is a great achievement. So, yeah, he's going to be putting some pressure on the seniors, I think.
From the Island Games, there were lots of standout performances, but for you, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Which were the real we should take note of because they've got a big, bright future? We know of the likes of yourself. We know about, you know, Rachel Franklin and her success. But who are the youngsters caught your eye?
Oh, Dave Mullarkey, without a shadow of a doubt. The way he ran that 1,500 metres was just breathtaking. We were literally all, well, I would say, on the edge of our seats, but we were all stood up. But yeah, he just ran it so maturely, and I think he has got obviously he's been to the Youth Commonwealths already, and I think the Senior Commonwealths will be in his sights. But he is definitely one to watch. And we've got some like great, we've got Keegan Taylor, a very good long jumper. We've got Elliot Callow coming through the ranks, good sprinter. I mean, Jack Lemaire, you know, is back into the fold. I think we're going to see really good things from him. And we've got some young athletes like Lydia Morris, who did the 400 PB. Amy Kringle, if she sticks with athletics, she might kind of decide to concentrate on CrossFit. But if she does, I think we can see some really good things from her. So it's a very exciting time.
The future's bright then.
Future is definitely bright. And as I said, we've got people like Ben Sinclair coming through, Regan Corrin. You know, there's a lot of younger, Mary Harrison, Macy Hillier. They know there's really good juniors, under 15s, under 17s, then going to come into the senior ranks as well. So it's, yeah, I think it's only going to get stronger and stronger.
Does having the success at the Island Games provide a bit of a legacy and make people interested in the sport?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially with something like the Island Games, you can represent where you're from. And I think that's so important for people from the island. You all want to always want to represent where you're actually from, although getting a GB vest is absolutely amazing. But I think the Island Games definitely spurs up people to, especially even in your training groups and everything, those that didn't quite make it, you know, want to get there for the next time. So it kind of spurs them on to train harder and train smarter.
And we've had success only this week on the British scene as well.
Oh, I know. Absolutely fabulous. And I think Erica's got a hat-trick of gold medals in the England champs. And Joe Reed, after his fourth place last year, has really come on. I mean, he's running so consistently around his PB, which I know frustrates him immensely. But I'm sure we're going to see even faster times from Joe very soon.
And what about Catherine? She's still on the comeback trail, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. So she's training down in Loughborough now. She's living with Glenn Quayle, our pole vaulter, who obviously came off a gold medal in the English schools, which is absolutely amazing as in itself. So they're living together. So she's training's going really well. She's done a few 200s now, around low 25s. She ran the 4x4 in the Northern League. So yeah, she's on her way back and on her way up, I think.
So this weekend, the Isle of Man Track and Field Championship, Saturday and Sunday. What are the times?
Okay, so it's going to still start from about 11 o'clock in the morning till about 5 o'clock most nights. But there's a burger van, there's going to be pop up snacks and everything like that. There's a raffle as well to raise money for the Isle of Man Athletics and obviously to develop the future of our sport. So just please pop down and even to watch my brother run an 800 meters, because honestly, all the officials have said to me, I cannot wait to try and see your brother run an 800 metres.
Is he going to do it?
He said he's going to take the first lap out in 55 seconds. And for those of you that are not aware of that, Dave Mullarkey goes through his first 800 in 55 seconds. So he might take 3 days to do the next lap.
I was going
to
say, yeah. Have you got an extension to the 5 o'clock cutoff?
Yeah, we'll get the calendar out. But do you know what? He is determined, and I have no doubt he will go through that first lap in 55 seconds, and we'll just have to see what goes on. But it'll definitely be an event to watch. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good luck to him and good luck to all taking part. That was Athletics Development Officer Hannah Riley speaking to Tim Glover there in the Isle of Man. Track and Field Championships are on at the NSC over the next 2 days, and I'm sure we'll be seeing some fantastic performances, and 11 o'clock start tomorrow. And before we leave you this evening, an Ireland hockey player has been reflecting on new rule changes which will come into effect in the forthcoming season. Matches on the Isle of Man will no longer allow players to bear goalkeeping privilege if electing to play with 11 outfielders, whilst attackers are also set to be penalised more harshly if they encroach during a penalty corner. However, Manx Leagues will not comply with the elite leagues across the water in bringing in quarters to replace the traditional two halves of 35 minutes. Changes are set to come into force then for the 2019-20 season, and they are concerning removal of players with goalkeeper privileges, defensive free hits awarded within the defensive circle, amendments to ruling around attacking free hits within the 23 metres, and amendment to ruling around attackers entering the circle early at a penalty corner. Sam Hassel made her name in the sport with Douglas side Harlequins, not being biased, but they're the greatest hockey club in the world, aren't they? She has also represented the Isle of Man at senior level and is tipped to go on and have a long and prosperous career in the sport. She's a mature head on young shoulders, off to Portsmouth for university, where another young Manx hockey player in George Harrison went last year. So the south coast of England is currently stealing a number of our star players, hopefully developing them along their educational journey, though, and I'm sure they are. Anyway, Sam told me she believes a change regarding game length isn't too far away.
I definitely think we should consider moving to the four quarters, because having played at counties level, we split into quarters, and it's good having the different intervals to talk about what's happening during that section of the game, because you might change your tactic and like to suit how they're playing. And I definitely think quarters is the way to go.
Do you think for younger players hoping to play at the highest level here on the Isle of Man starting out, it is beneficial for them to learn to play with four quarters early on? Do you think it would be a significant hindrance if they went across and there was such a drastic change in format?
I don't think so. I think if it were the other way around, if we were to play quarters to then try and play halves, that would be difficult. But I think going from halves to quarters is actually, it's okay, but I still think we should try and aim for it.
There are other changes brought in. One of those comes into short corners, penalty corners. For at the moment, there is a significant penalty for the defending team if a player does encroach or moves past the line before the ball is injected into the D, and now attackers are going to face the same penalty.
I like this rule. When you're defending a short corner, it is a very significant loss. If you lose a player to the halfway line, you can't replace them. You're down a whole defender. Whereas the attackers, if they were to do the same, they effectively don't suffer any penalty. But with this new rule, it means that if the injector goes, that is a significant loss, and it puts the two sides at a bit of a more level playing field.
There are a couple of rule changes that take place, minor ones it seems, with each season or every couple of seasons. It usually takes Manx players quite a while to adjust. Do you think we'll see the same again this season?
Yes, I think so, because it always takes a while to get used to new rules. But I think people will pick it up quickly, but it might take a little while to make it smooth.
Sam Hassell, the Isle of Man senior hockey player. We will be having an expert with in-depth knowledge of the rules of the game coming in to give you some more lowdown on those rule changes in a few weeks. I thought that would be better than me trying to tell you what is changing. But what I can tell you, more clarification on that penalty corner rule change. Now, if an attacker enters the circle at a penalty corner before permitted, the player taking the push or hit from the back line is required to go beyond the centre line and the penalty corner is taken again. That's just one of the rules. As I say, we will get somebody who knows in depth the rules of the game coming in a few weeks' time. But that's about it for Friday Sport this evening. Remember, the Kermesse begins at 7:30 this evening at the Isle of Man Business Park course in Braddon, but we're heading to the news at 6 o'clock. Good evening.